Going back to the initial market, the Donna talked about the nine research. It just reminded me question that I've been asked more than once, and I'd like to hear your response, and that is, how can you be involved with Buddhism as a female? Because the perceived the perception of it is that it's just male dominated and puts me in their place. And actually, the first time I was asked that, it actually took me back because it never occurred to me. Because I came back with Tara and a lot of things like that. But I mean, I don't have time to give them the whole story about the history of the nuns and Buddhism or whatever. But what should I say?
Okay. So your question is, when people ask you, how can you practice Buddhism as a woman when women are put down?
Within the perception of being...
Okay, within the Buddhist religious institutions, we can say. Somebody asked me, somebody at Trivasi Abbey asked me a similar question recently. And it was more about becoming a nun. Like, well, you know, how can I ordain and follow this path if I can't be equal? And I said, because you want to be happy and get out of cyclic existence. Okay? What I've had to wrestle with a lot is there's the pure Dharma and there's religious institutions. And they're very different. They're very different. Okay? The pure dharmas, the realizations in the mind of somebody who has realizations. Okay? And everybody has the possibility to gain those realizations. It doesn't matter what body you're in, whether you're in a male body or a female body. Okay? You have the possibility of gaining those realizations. When you have those realizations, then you have peace in your mind. That's what's important to me in Buddhism. Okay, that's why I practice. When I hear the teachings and I practice them, they help me. Religious institutions were created by human beings. Okay. Now you might say, but the Buddha, you know, at the time he was alive, you know, in setting up the order of nuns, he set it up as subservient to the order, you know, as lower, or not lower, but answerable to the order of monks. Okay. He did that because of the social conventions at that time. If you look in ancient India, and even in India now, you know, a woman to a certain extent, you know, is under the control of her father, then her husband, and then her son. Unfortunately, in the West, we talk a lot about gender equality, but there's some room for improvement here, isn't there? Okay? And so there also is in Asian cultures. But my reason for being a Buddhist is because I want to be free of misery, and I want to be able to benefit sentient beings, and the Buddha taught the path to do that. Yeah? And, yes, you know, there's a religious institution where there's gender discrimination, and I do whatever I can to counteract that. You know, working a lot in trying to get the bhikshuni, the full ordination, established in the Tibetan tradition. I'm very particular about gender neutral terms. Even at this conference recently, there was one person who had just translated a sutra that we were all reading together. And afterwards, I went up to him and I said, I can make a few suggestions. Instead of wife, put spouse. Instead of son, put children. You know? And you do that. And I'm really shocked. A lot of times, even in the West, people still use gender unequal language. And, even more than the religious institutions is, I think, people's minds. And this is, I think, where all of us have to look inside of our own mind and see how we automatically give more credence to what a man does than to what a woman does. Okay? The religious institution could be set up however it wants to, but the actual problem is within our minds. You know? And until people actually start supporting women in our own minds, the legislation doesn't necessarily, you know, it may change pay levels, but it doesn't really change what needs to be changed. Other questions? If I can add another thing to that, one of the things I think that can help women so much is to let the media know that how they portray women is sick. Yeah? Because in spite of all the progress that has been made in terms of education and job opportunities, we are still being portrayed as sex objects. And what's even worse is women buy into that and make it part of their self-image. And I think we have to be quite aware of the rubbish the media is feeding us regarding that and refuse to make that part of our self-image. And especially for the young girls, to save them from, I think, the havoc that the media does to a teenage girl, for those of you who have gone through teenage girlhood, like me. And for the guys who have done it in a previous life. You know? Yeah. So I think we have to refuse to see ourselves as sex objects. Hmm? Yes?
I'm caught on the image you gave us before, sitting next to someone, you know, in a hospital that's ill, and whether they're feeling miserable or, you know, in a reverse situation where you would be there and you could be miserable and they're fine, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, I want to be free from the judgment involved there. And yet the suffering exists. I mean, someone is in misery.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to just put a silver lining on the cloud and say, oh, well, this is life and you know, isn't it great that we're here together?
Okay.
So it seems that, you know, letting go of all of the trappings of, you know, that this really is a good situation, or that somehow some benefit comes of this, is wrong. It's just is more confusing. I'm not getting free of the judgment involved there. So I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess misery is all around us. You can't pretend it's not there, but it's all around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can think of something else that's less miserable, but I don't want to just put a happy face on it. You know?
Okay. Okay, so your question is about when I gave that image of being in a room and we're fine and with somebody who's ill, or we're ill and somebody else is fine, and it almost sounds as if, well, we live our own separate lives, so kind of what to do. Yeah. First of all, let me just backtrack for a minute before I respond and remind that the reason for giving that was to remind us that what we experience alone, and that nobody else can take it away from us. Okay? So that was the purpose of giving that image, that somebody, if we're miserable, somebody can't reach inside of us and pull the misery out. We have to change our own mind and our own way of looking at things. Okay? So that was an example to kind of illustrate that. Now, in terms of your question per se, yes, the misery does exist. And no, we don't want to just say, well, that's life. And yes, yeah, the sick suffering is everybody experiences suffering on their own, so you're doing it. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's not where we want to get to. That's not at all helpful. Because if it were us, we don't say that to ourselves, do we? Oh, I'm suffering and this is the sixth suffering. Oh, well, okay. Yeah. So what we want to realize whenever we see or are with somebody who is suffering is that whatever they are experiencing, we are one breath away from experiencing. Okay? There's really no difference between us and the other person except for the moment of time that's happening right now. Because in all of beginningless samsara, we've experienced what they're going through right now. And who knows what kind of horrible karma we've created that could ripen in one breath. And there we are in the same situation. You know? And so that person, there's not a big difference between that other person and me. And so like Shantideva says, suffering is to be eliminated just because it's suffering. Not because it's mine or the suffering of somebody I love, but just because it's suffering, because we're all alike. Okay. Yeah.
Just following up on that, it seems to me that the common denominator is compassion, because if you if two people are in some sort of relationship with each other and one is suffering in a more obvious way, so say you are with a very sick, acutely ill person who's very clearly suffering, you also are, in a way, I mean, that person could have compassion for the visitor because they know that the visitor is probably suffering because they can't do anything to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're kind of feeling useless and helpless at that point. And I was riding a bus here, and a woman came on who was severely disabled, and it took her a very long time to get the wheelchair into the bus and get connected, and then she couldn't speak well, or really at all, and so she couldn't communicate properly about getting off the bus, where she had to get off the bus. And the bus driver was clearly flummoxed and a bit exasperated, and it seemed to me that I was trying to practice compassion, not only for the woman whose suffering was obvious, but for the bus driver, who it would be so easy to say, well, what a callous person, but who knows why he was feeling so frustrated. And so it just seems like at every moment everyone has some level of suffering, whether it's obvious or not.
Exactly. We all have some level, and that's the ouch suffering, right, that we all recognize. We all have some level of it, or something that's going on at any particular point. And the rest that we're not manifestly experiencing at the moment could be there as a potential. Yeah? So there's not the difference between self and others. No questions? Yes? How many monastics are living at the Abbey? There's me, and then there's one other monastic right now, and then there's one woman who is an anagarika. She has 8 precepts, and so she hopefully will be ordained in the autumn. So slowly, slowly, things are increasing. Yeah. That's Nance, for those of you who know Nance. Yeah. and the one who's ordained is Jan, for those of you who've been on retreat with Jan. So
all of my questions. Are there monks in Warsaw?
The Abbey is open to monks. We don't have any resident monks right now, but it certainly is open, and open to men who are exploring ordination too. And the men and women will live in separate quarters. Yeah, we're hoping to build in another year or two, and Right now, the guy's dorm. Actually, it's a pretty good place, isn't it? Yeah? Better than it was when you did retreat. Yeah? We revamped one bay in the barn, and that's the guy's dorm right now. It's a nice space. And then we hope to build a monastic residence maybe next year, depending upon the funds and so forth. But yeah, it's open. And, you know, people ask me about this because people are very puzzled. Oh, how can you have men, you know, kind of. And I say, well, I've been the victim of gender discrimination. Yeah? And I don't want to create any more of that karma. So, yeah?